We're going to start out giving a quick summary of the first two parakim of Sefer Bereishis and build a few questions. The truth is the first parak is not as challenging as the second parak. If you have a Tanakh, it's a little bit easier. If not, so you'll make with what you have. Hey, doing Tabor, Shalom Aleichem. So if you have a Tanakh, it's a little more helpful. If not, so then no. But again, this usually be Mepharshim, but Rashi will do for this week. And then maybe, well, you know what, I'll get a few Chumashim here. Okay,
these guys, let me go to these drops. Get a lot of words on a page.
Okay. So the story really, let's break that parak aleph into a few sections. Where did the first section start? Obviously, Pasuk aleph. Where would the first section end? Probably Pasuk K, although maybe arguably Pasuk Beis. In other words, Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk Aleph and Beis, it's unclear exactly what they're doing. Are they an introduction? Bereishis Elokim es hashamayim ve'es ha'aretz v'aretz ha'ayis ha'tov v'vo v'choshes ha'paneis v'hom v'elof Elokim rachavet ha'panei ha'mayim. Exactly what are those two Pasukim doing? Are they introducing all of creation the first 2 days? It could be, but not even, that's okay. But day number one definitely concludes with Pasuk Hay, and day number two starts with Pasuk Vav and goes until where? No, that's Pasuk, they got 2 days in there. So Chay. Right? Then you have day three starts with Pasuk Tes and goes until Yud Gimel. And then each way ends with Vahir Vayvoka, Yom Echa, Vahir Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi. Then Pasuk Yudalit is the fourth day, and that ends with Pasuk Yud Tes, Vahir Vayvoka Yom Revi. Pasuk Yud is, Pasuk Kaf starts Yom Chamishi, and it concludes with Pasuk Kaf Gimel. And then Chav Dalit till the end of the parak is Yom Shishi. And then Shabbos, the Christians put together the Parakim and Sukkim. King James did it. The Jews put together the Parshiyot. The Christians, I think, made a small mistake. Yeah, I would have stuck by Hu Hashmar, day number seven. I would have stuck
in
Parak
Aleph. Big mistake.
Okay. I agree. day seven, Lechor belongs with the previous thing. And really, Parak Bet should have started with Parak Bet, Pasuk Dalet, but let's start with that right now. You ready? We're going to read a few Sukkim. So essentially, when we pick up a Parak Bet Pasuk Dalet, it's after we've discussed all 7 days of creation. With a little description in each one. Eilat Toldos HaShemayim V'Haaretz. These are the Toldos of Shemayim and Aretz. Exactly what that is not crystal clear, but it's something. V'Haaretz, I'm sorry, V'Haaretz. V'Hibarom V'Yom Asot Hashem Elokim Shemayim V'Haaretz. What does that mean? V'Hibarom V'Yom Asot Hashem Shemayim, I'm sorry, Asot Hashem Elokim Eretz V'Shemayim. What does that mean? And this is like what was created on the day that God made the Shemayim and the Aretz. What day, by the way, was this? All seven? Bayom? Was it day number six? We'll see in a second. It's actually talking about the creation of people. It's day number six. Was it day number one? There's a Rashi, both over here, that says it was day number one, as well as earlier on in Parak Aleph, Gedalah says Hashem created everything in the first day and just brought it to fruition days two through six, seven. In any event, it's a funny pasuk exactly what's going on here, and here's what gets even weirder. V'chol siach hasadet terem yiyeh ba'aretz, v'chol esev hasadet terem yitzmach. This is before what happened? All the vegetation and grass had grown. Now, why is that a problem? Because this is Parak Beis. When did the grass really grow? Yeah, what day? The third day. Didn't that already grow? Ki lo himtir Hashem lukim al ha'aretz v'adam ayin la'avodet ha'adamo. And there was no man to work the land. Man was not around yet. Which is funny because man was already created back in Parak Aleph, day number six. The Eid Ya'alem in Ha'aretz, I guess it was some type of fog or mist that came up in the ground. The Hiksha et Kol Pnei Ha'adamon, it gathered the land. It was Pasuk Zayin. Vayitra Hashem Elokim Es Ha'adam. What did God do? He created man. Now, why is that surprising? Yeah, did he create him a second time? Ofra Min Ha'adam, from the and man was now created over here again. Surprising that man was created. Pasuk Ches starts a whole new section. After Pasuk, right, Vav and Zion were the creation of man. Here comes Pasuk Ches, a long section. This is going to be where I'm going to entitle Man in Gan Eden. And it has Vayta Hashem Elokim Gan De'Eden. Mikedem Vayosim Sham Ha'adam Asher Yatzar. And all of a sudden, when was Adam put in Gan Eden? Only over here. Where was he beforehand? I don't know. He was created once in Parak Aleph, created once again a second time ago. I'm not sure he was until then, but then he was put into Gan Eden. Vayitzmach Hashem Elokim and Adam Kol Eitz Nechmar Umare V'Tov L'Machol. And what happened? What did God do? He made all the vegetation. Before or after he made man?
Before. Before.
Well, from Parak Aleph before, right. But over here, it's the after. Ve'eta chayim betoch hagan ve'eta das kovaran. He put one or two trees, according to Ramban, two trees, according to others, one. He put the eta das and the eta chayim in the middle of the gan. And then he has these rivers. Va'nahar yotzei mi'edim hashkotas hagan yisham yiparet v'haya arba rashim v'for river shem ha'achad in Yud Aleph. And all the way to Shesh, and if you look in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Shem HaNahar HaSheni, and Pasuk Yudal, Shem HaNahar HaShlishi, all these, and then Vana, at the end of Yudal is Vanar Harvi Hu Parat. He puts these, what's it called, rivers in Gan Eden. Vayikach Hashem Elokim Es HaAdam, Vayan Hichehu B'Gan Eden. What does God do? He puts them in Gan Eden again, but I don't think it means he puts them there. It means he rests them there, and he gives them a task, a purpose, which is La'avdol L'Shamra. And I guess if you had to summarize, this is really from Pasuk Ches until maybe now, or maybe one more. But until right here, there's a little bit of a section of Adam being placed, or the details of Gan Eden, which at first are the descriptions, the vegetation, whatever else is going on. And then all of a sudden, Adam is placed inside, and he's giving a job, giving a task, giving a mission, La'avdo L'shamra, to guard it, to oversee it, to work it and guard it. Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al Adam lemor mikol et hagan to ochal tochal mitzvah tovra lo tochal ki menu v'yom achal ki menu mos tamus. God is, the Adam is then told not to eat from it. I guess maybe that's even the conclusion of the Eitz Hadas, I'm sorry, the Gan Eden section. I said it before, maybe it's even that part of the inclusion. Okay, Yod Ches, now we have the next little section. Vayomer Hashem Elokim lo tov vayos Adam levado eselo egzer kenegzer. What's wrong? Adam is
lonely.
Therefore, God has to make him an Ezer Kenegda. Vayitzar Hashem Elokim en ha'adam ha'kol chayet ha'sad ha'beis kol of ha'shmaim vayiveyat el ha'adam l'ros ma yikra lo vayomer, I'm sorry, v'chol asher yikra lo ha'adam nefesh chayet hu'shmo, Adam named them all v'yikrod m'shemos v'chol ha'beimos, and if he's back with him, he names them all right now, lo ha'shmaim l'chol chayet ha'sad lo Adam lo matzah Ezer Kenegda. Hashem brings Adam all the different animals, Adam names them all, however, none of them are a good Ezer Kenegda. And being that Adam is further isolated, further lonely, Vayapel Hashem Elokim Tardema al Ha'adam Vayishan. Hashem makes Adam fall asleep. Vayikach Achas Mitzal Osav Vayizgor Basar Tachteha Vayiven El. You guys know what he's doing with this little maneuver over here. Vayiven Hashem Elokim Es Hatzela. He takes out the bone Hashem Lakach Me Adam Lishav. Vayivel Al Adam. He takes that bone from the rib and he makes her wife. Vayomer Adam Dos Tapam Etem Es Matai Ubasim Sari. This came from my bone and came from my flesh, lezosi kara isha ki miish lukacha zos. And he names her Isha. Why? Because she came from Ish. Al ken yazov ish azaviv v'imav v'davak v'shto v'yil v'tar achad v'yishne marumim hadam v'shto v'lo yitposhu. They were both naked and they didn't realize. And I guess my real question in one simple soul soup would be, what the heck is going on in Perek Beis? Is Adam being created the second time? Is it before the vegetation? Was he not created earlier on? This time he's created with a task and a mission to rule Gan Eden. There's this loneliness thing. The presentation of how Chava was created is totally different than earlier on. If you look back in day number six, it's no longer is it Adam being created and Chava coming from his rib, but rather the two of them being created as one by Yevrelokim as Adam b'tzalmo b'tzalmo. So Zachar and Kivav Rosam, he created them together. That's the first parak, they're created together. Here he's created by himself. He's lonely, he has got nothing to do, and therefore Hashem makes him a wife from his rib. And I guess the real question is, what the heck is going on? I'm not sure how many different approaches there are to explain it, but Rashi seems to take one that I think is very, very helpful. Take a look at Rashi to start from Parak Aleph plus it. I think it's Kavzayin. Rashi and the pasuk comes down. We read the pasuk one more time. Vayikra Elokim es Adam b'tamal b'tamal kim b'rosam zachar nekivah b'rosam. Rashi there maskil zachar nekivah b'rosam. See that Rashi?
You have a Rashi?
If you have a Rashi, look inside the Rashi. If you don't have a Rashi, so look on the side. Has a Rashi? You get a Rashi on the shelf over there. It's okay. Yeah, second one. You get one or two Rashis. I'm sure there's a library full of Rashis from Rashi. Okay, take a look at Rashi and Parak Aleph Pasuk Yizayin. And I guess my question is twofold. Number one is what's Rashi saying, and number two is what question was he bothered by? It's the third Rashi on the pasuk. Divrei Maschil Zachar Unikeva Brosam. Zachar Unikeva Brosam. What's bothering Rashi? What's his solution? What's the problem? What's going on here?
Well, the problem seems to be one that you said earlier, the fact that he says right now it seems that they're made together when later it says that they're made from.
Correct. There seems to be a contradiction as to how man was created. In Perek Aleph, it's Zachar Nekeva Brosam. But later on, Ulaholan, says Rashi, who Omer, the Pasuk says later on, Vayikach Achas Mitzalotav. He took her from the rib, took her out of one of the rib bones. Medrash Agada Shebaru Shnei Perutzufin, the Bria Harishon, of Afrikach Chilku. What's the Medrash suggest? He created one being, I don't know if it's an androgynous or an Aphrodite or what, but Adam and Chav were physically in one body, and then afterwards, V'achrakach chilku, he divided them up into two people. She was really part of it, he was part of her, and then he took her out via the bone of the rib or something like that. In other words, according to the Medrash, what's going on in Perek Beis, you can see through this one thing, what? It's a sequence, it's the second half of the story. Perek Aleph is really the story of Bereishis, and Perek Beis are, I guess, what happened afterwards, or at least in terms of separating man from woman. Exactly how all the other details are answered, I'm not sure. But then Rashi has a different shot. What does Rashi say? Upshuto shel mikra, not the midrashic way of learning, but the pashup shot way of learning. Kan hodiacha shenivro shnehem b'shishi, v'lo perish lecha keteh b'riyasa, u'perish lecha b'malko macher. What does Rashi say? This is an unbelievable theory that would exist in Chumash. People like to suggest it in the more modern world, but it goes back to Rashi. What's really going on here? And in Chazal's words, Divrei Torah aniyim b'malkom echad v'ashirim b'malkom acher.
So it's like a second account of the same thing.
Correct. It's the second telling of the story. In other words, right now we'll tell you a very quick summary. We'll give you the headlines. We'll give you a few bold points, a few major important things. But the details of the story we'll include later on. Why would anyone write it this way? Apparently there's a certain goal of finishing up the 6-7 days of creation in short, succinct points. You want to have day 1, 4 psukim, day 2, 4 psukim, day 3, day 6 is a little bit longer. You put in all of Perek Bet, the reader totally loses his sense of, realizing the group of the first story. In other words, if you would go into tangents and talk about this whole story and get into the Eitz Hadas story and thrown out, by the time you get up to day 7, it's already, you lost the presentation that the Chumash wants to accomplish. And if you notice, the Chumash is presented, it doesn't mean my Haskama, but I'll just point out the beauty of it, it's presented absolutely beautifully. Day 1, a little story, concludes with Vayar Vayvoka Yom Echad. Day 2, a little story, concludes Vayar Vayvoka Yom Hashem. Day 3, Shlishi. And before we go back and read the second Rashi, which furthers Rashi's theory, and then explain the different goals of storytelling 1, storytelling 2, let me just pause and finish developing what I started developing a moment ago, which is the godless and the beauty of the first parak, the first 7 days of creation. And if anyone knows, there's an unbelievable comment that the Vilna Gaon makes on the Medrash. Anyone know the famous Medrash? The Medrash says that the 6 days of creation, everyone had a partner, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu felt bad for Shabbos. Shabbos had no partner, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu decided to make it a partner, and therefore gave it Am Yisrael. That's the Medrash. Anyone ever hear this Medrash before?
Yeah.
So the Gra, what does the Gra say? You know the Gra?
Doesn't he ask what the partner was on one of the days?
He goes, what do you mean all these other days have partners? So he explains. If you think about it, what was created day 1? Exactly. Each guy has a partner. What's number 1? What was created day 1?
Sunday.
Light and dark. What was created day number 4? Sun, the moon, and the stars. The sun and the moon and the stars fit into the context of light and dark. They fit right in. What was created day 2? The sky and the water. What was created day 5? Its partner?
The animals.
Not animals. Which one specifically? The birds and the fish. Where do the birds go? In the sky. Where do the fish go? In the water. It's perfect. What's created day 3? land, vegetation, trees, etc. What's created day number six? Animals and man. And this guy, everyone has a perfect partner to go with. Day number one is with number four. Day number two is with day number five. Day number three is with day number six. Maybe the Christians had in mind that, but I'm joking. I'm saying why they put the seventh day separate. They knew the magic should have only gone animals. Joking. But there is a certain nice palette to it. And by the way, I'll sharpen it a little bit. There's a new modern technique in terms of parshanut that people like to use, especially in universities, called the Milah Mancha. You know what that is? Much more academic thing. It's a little bit less traditional, but I think it's a brilliant technique and it's very supportive of the Israel Adon. You don't know what that means or no? You hardly ever find Rashi doing it. Basically, what it means is you look at the story and there's one word that kind of stands out. It leads. It's unique in the sense that it comes up eight times in one story. So it could be, it's not just by chance that this word comes up eight times in this one story, but it's a subliminal message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us without spelling it out. You understand the point? Meaning, I'm trying my best to give over the messages of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in deeper ways, more hidden ways, as well as the straightforward way, which is shot and puzzle. So let's just take a look for a second. If we pointed out that section number one of Sefer Bereishis, Sukkim Aleph through Hey, what word comes up more than any other word? Nope. That comes up, maybe a word. Elohim does come up a lot, you're right, but what else? Four. Let's put that, write that down, put the back of your mind. Day number one, either the or one of the Milah, either the Milah Mancha or one of them is or. What about section number two?
Mayim.
I thought Mayim. I think Mayim comes up more than Rakia. If I'm not mistaken, Mayim comes up. Vayom Elokim, Yehi Rakia B'toch HaMayim, Vayavdel Bein Mayim LaMayim, Vayas Elokim Et Rakia, Vayavdel Bein HaMayim Hashem Mitach LaShemayim, VaHaMayim, etc. And Shamayim. Rakia is definitely number two, but I think Mayim comes up. Mayim, Shamayim, I think 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 times. So we'll stick with that. Or Mayim. What's day number three? Those are two words that come up a lot. I think one of them more than the other one. I thought the word Zerah. What's up, Nidalis? Vayom Elokim Dashe Haaretz Dashe Esef Madria Zerah Eitz Pri Osef Pri Lemino Asher Zaro Bo Alar Zlechi Vatotze Haaretz Dashe Esef Madria Zerah Leminehu Vetosef Pri Asher Zaro. That's six more times. And if they really are partners, so what would you want the Milah Mancha for day number four to be?
Four.
And that's exactly what it is. Take a look. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Ma'oros Berakia Shemayim Vayavdel Bein Hayom Uvein Halayla Blah 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 Vayu LaMa'oros Berakia Vayas Elokim Es Shnei HaMa'oros Hagadolim Es HaMa'or Hagadolim Shas Hayom Ves HaMa'or Hakatan Limshas Halayla Ves HaGochav Vayitein Elokim Vayitein Elokim Berakia Shemayim LaHa'ir Al Ha'aretz V'Limshol Bayom V'Layla Havdil Bein Ha'or Uvein HaKoshef. And along with our theory of Mayim was the Milah Mancha of day number two. What do you want the Milah Mancha for day number five to be? And that's exactly what it is. Vayom Elokim Yishrutu Hamayim Sheret Nefesh Chaya Ofi Ofei Pav Haaretz Al Pnei Rakia Hashamayim Vayavra Elokim Et Atani Nim Agdolim Vet Kol Nefesh Chayra Mesa Sher Shartu Hamayim Skipping down Vayavrecho Sem Elokim Lemar Puru Uru Umalu Et Hamayim Vayomim Vaofi Aretz etc. And day number six, what would you want the word to be? Zerah, and again at the end, starting from Pasuk Chaf Tes, Vayomer Elokim Hinei Nasati Lechem Kol Esef Zoraya Zerah Asher Pnei Haaretz Besa Eitz Asher Bo Free Eitz Zoraya Zerah etc. And it could be this Milah Mancha, this hidden word, the word that leads almost, is exactly echoes the point that the Gra was trying to make, which is day number one and day number four may have some type of connection; they're partners. Day number two and day number five are the partners. Day number three and day number six are the partners. And day number seven stands on its own. And it could be, if this is the pshat, hey, it makes sense in how each one ends with the vayir, vayvoker, yomex. It also makes sense with the medrash, makes sense with the grum, makes sense with the milah mancha. And it could be what Rashi's driving over here is that Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to take a break, didn't want to interrupt the flow, the structure, the presentation, which he's couching into Chumash and Parak Aleph, and therefore says, pause, time out, hold on. Let me finish the story of creation, day number seven, and then he goes back Perek Beis, Pasuk Dalet. Take a look here for a second. And the Pasuk says, Eile Todos Shemayim Va'aretz. What does Rashi say on the word Eile? Take a look at Rashi. What does Rashi say? Two words. Ha'amurim Lamala. Perek Beis, Pasuk Dalet. What does Rashi say? These are the Todos of Shemayim Va'aretz. Which ones? The ones that are going to come up. These are already Ha'amurim Lamala. I think, again, Rashi's driving home at the point that is, Chumash paused on day number 6, said time out, finished the brief story, and then said, okay, now I'll go back and present the story of creation in a more detailed, more explicit, different way. And now the question becomes, what is being added in by Perek Beis? How is it different from Perek Aleph? What are the two different models that the Torah is trying to present? What are the differences between them? What's going on? What's the Kaddish Baruch Hu trying to drive at over here? Why write the story this way if there are two different messages? Well, what are they? That's basically the next stage of hopefully we'll finish up our Shiva. You with me so far? I think it's important to recognize, A, the problem, just in terms of Derech Limud. What's going on in these Pesukim? If you pay attention, you probably read these Pesukim many times in life. You just kind of, I don't know. Until I was in wait at yeshiva, I read these books and I had no idea what was going on. I just went like this. Like, I didn't even bother to ask, well, what's going on in this stuff? What's going on? I just asked what's going on in Sukkim to figure to point out the problems and potentially the following solution.
Okay.
Now, the truth is, if you look in Perek Aleph, I'm going to make a list of several things that are different from Perek Aleph to Perek Beis. Let's make a list together. No, if you had to point out the difference between the story of creation, specifically day number 6 and how Adam and Chava were created in Perek Aleph versus how Adam and Chava were created in Perek Beis, as well as the larger context, what differences would there be? Some of them are very obvious but important, some of them are more subtle and important, some of them are not so important. What would the differences be? Now, you understand what we're trying to do? We're trying to figure out, well, Chumash broke up the story in two halves and had one theme for Perek Aleph, they had a different theme for Perek Bet, or Perek Aleph, we mentioned the most relevant details, and Perek Bet, we added in a whole nother one. Well, what are the messages Perek Aleph was trying to get across? What is Perek Bet trying to get across? And hopefully with that, we'll be able to understand the message that the Chumash is trying to get across. That's just why we're doing this. Let me just show you the thought process that I went when I was learning this piece of Chumash. Nope. What's the difference between Perek Aleph and Perek Beis? Obvious differences. Not so obvious differences.
What's all good together?
What's all good? Yeah, correct. What's all good together? Yeah, in other words, if you look in Perek Beis, it's all one large Mishkah Babel. There isn't a distinction between God created this thing, God created the second thing, God created the third thing. Our whole model that we built was adapted to show distinction between day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six. Adam was created by himself. He was not created the same as animals. He was created, I'm sorry, day number 4 or 5 was animals. Day number 6 was Adam. Adam's one of the days of creation. In Perek Beis, what's the story? I don't think Adam is one of the points of creation. He is the center of creation. Now, the truth is, even in Perek Aleph, he's day 6, but day 7 really is a benefit. In Perek Beis, Adam, I think, is much more than just another created day. In day number 1, Adam takes up a seventh of the story. In Perek Aleph. In Perek Beis, Adam is much more, it's a different story. Adam is created in order to serve, to guard, to watch over Gan Eden. Adam is created in much more detail. He's given, he's created from Afra Min HaAdama. He's created as an individual. He's lonely. He has no one. God gives him a wife. If I had to make another distinction or further this, Perek Aleph, which one is Adam, man and wife, and which one is he man and woman?
Man and wife is the second.
Yeah. In Perek Aleph, it's man and woman. He's created, he's got nothing, and he's created a man and woman together. In Perek Beis, Adam is created by himself, looking around, he's lonely, he's not like the animals, he's dissimilar from the animals, so much so that he's lonely, he has nothing else, he needs another person. Mash'enke, Perek Aleph, he's just another member of creation. In Perek Aleph, Adam is part of the environment. In Perek Beis, he's in charge of the environment. In Perek Aleph, he's just another one of the animals. In Perek Beis, there's a strong Yetzer Hara that he may end up doing what? Even from Eitz Hadas, becoming what? Like Hashem. Hashem has to warn him. He can handle mitzvot. Hashem has to warn him, don't even Eitz Hadas to overrun. Don't even Eitz Hachaim to Chagan. It's important that you stay different in that sense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called to as Hashem in Perek Aleph. I'm sorry, he's called to as Elohim in Perek Aleph. He's the ruler of nature. In Perek Beis, he's Hashem Elohim. The Kuzri thinks this is a name that links man to God. Man is closer to God. It's a closer intimacy. I'd like to maybe just develop a little bit of a theme. One is going to call Vaishik develop. The very famous thing. One is going to come and try to deviate slightly from it. The theme is actually the quote of the Rav. Salvechik had a whole famous book called The Lonely Man of Faith, which is a book on a lot of it. Adam 1 versus Adam. Have people heard of that? Adam 1 is the man who wants to know what, like how things work, and the technological experience of it. And Adam 2 is a philosopher. He wants to understand the depth of the world and why things happen. Salvechik developed that for about 125 pages. Different styles of people and how people really has both. And the second one, The Lonely Man of Faith, and the one who's lonely looking at the animals, etc., etc. That could be one take on it. Although I thought maybe the more simple shot in the story is, I guess man has two different elements to him. There's the physical, there's the mundane, there's the earthly man, the one who's one of the animals, and then there's the spiritual man who doesn't identify with the animals, who feels lonely amongst animals, who can reach heights more angelic. One who, if taken out of the control, can elevate to a point that's unhealthy. Eitz Hadas Tovara is not what we want from him. It could be a man has two different dimensions to his personality. There's the animalistic side to him, then there's the spiritual side to him. There's the physical side, then there's the part that allows him to rise above. And it could be if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have put them together, not only would he have lost this thematic, structured presentation of Perek Aleph. But additionally, you would not understand the sophistication, the duality that man has. To raise himself, on one hand, above Gan Eden. So you put him afterward, to have a specific tafkid, to have a specific mission, a job of La'avdav, L'shamra. Human beings have, along with a greater intellectual responsibility, a responsibility to the world at large. Responsibility to La'avdo L'shamra, to improve the world, to impact the world, to guard the world, to watch the world. And on the other hand, the most simple, basic animalistic tendencies of man, which is a part of the world just like anybody else. And it could be HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated these two stories, because if you put it all as one story, not only would you miss the structure in Perek Aleph, but additionally, you'd miss this hashkafic message of there are two independent dimensions, elements, components to man's personality. And it's critical to realize that they're not synthesized into one. The best way HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have presented us with who and what man is, and that's at the beginning of Chumash. The beginning of Chumash is a pasuk of God created the world. Every two segments of God created the world was beforehand, and now let's talk about what's in this world. Who is man? What's man's job? And that's the first, not Jew's job, not the job of the Jew, the job of mankind as a whole. And that's why this story takes place before anyone's Jewish. It's a man in general. What is a man's job? What is a human being? What does the Kodesh Baruch Hu want? What is Torah's hashkafa as to what man should be doing in this world? And the answer is, there's a tension, there's a duality, there are two competing natural instincts of a man. On one hand, to be animalistic and just another member of society. On the other hand, he has a special heightened task, which is La'avdo L'shamra, to elevate, to improve. Quote from Aleinu, L'taket, L'saken, Ol, M'malch, L'shakai, etc., etc. And it could be that the Torah presented two different stories, as the way Rashi explained it. The first story, and then time out, pause, go and give more details with a whole other presentation. Needless to say, people who have no Yirah Shemaim at all, a lot of the Bible critics point out here, you see here, look, the documentary hypothesis is correct, J-E-P-N-D, there's different authors, one author of Perek Aleph, one author of Perek Beis, firmer approach would be to say, sure, no, that's not true. But the more modern firmer approach would be to say, it could be there are two different presentations, as with Mashma from Rashi. But it's not because of two different authors, it's because it's a very profound author giving the two different sides of the poem. There's a sophisticated author showing us the Hashkaf Nikol, which is multidimensional, not simple. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing us different elements, different presentation. If that's the case, it even concludes, the last passage we read was, Adam and Chava are naked, and they're not embarrassed. What's the pasuk? Below Yisboshashu. Why? Because they're heightened spiritual people who are almost naive. They don't realize they're naked. Adam can be lonely. He's given a mission. All these theories, all these rather differences may support the theory that there are two different presentations Kulish is giving us and understanding the depth of man's love. Okay?